You're listening to The Pulse. I'm Mike and Scott. We might be getting a bit closer to answering one of the oldest questions in planetary science. Where did our oceans come from? So far, a leading assumption has been that a bombardment of comets almost 4 billion years ago brought with them the water that now makes up our oceans. But a study released last week raises questions about that. The data came from the Rosetta spacecraft, and joining us now to explain these findings is Dr. Claudia Alexander of NASA. She's the project scientist for the U.S. Rosetta Project. Claudia, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
What is the name of the comet?
We are very close to and in orbit around comet Churyumov-Gerasimenko.
So can you tell us a little bit more about that comet?
It's a comet that was first observed in 1955. It was discovered by two Russian astronomers, Churyumov and Gerasimenko, both of them. It is a very strange-looking target. It looks like a rubber duck, or to me it looks like the boot from the Monopoly game. So it looks like it has actually two smaller objects that crash together to make one giant object.
So explain to us what the particles that have been gathered, what can they tell us about where the Earth's oceans did or did not come from?
So we were looking to measure a particular particle called deuterium. And this is the same particle that is in heavy water. So heavy water is normally H2O, and heavy water is deuterium, D2O. And looking at that ratio, most of the comets that we have measured up until now through the decades have not had any value, so the water did not have the same flavors as Earth's water in terms of the relationship of deuterium to hydrogen, D2O, relative to H2O. But suddenly, just a few years ago, with Comet Hartley 2, which is the first Kuiper Belt comet that we measured, we got an exact terrestrial value. So that was very exciting. It said, look, comets from the Kuiper Belt might have been the rain of material that brought ocean water and hydrated the Earth, giving us this mantle of water that is even deeper than the oceans. We know that the upper mantle of the Earth is also very hydrated with water. So we were hoping that the measurement that we would get of deuterium from Rosetta would be the same, that would confirm the idea that a Kuiper Belt object brought the water to the Earth. But it turns out that it is vastly different. The value is even more different than some of the other comets from the Oort cloud. So it means we have some more thinking to do about where did Earth get its water, and could Earth have brought out its own water?
Is there still a chance that the water came from the comets, or is that being ruled out now?
Yes, I believe that comets are not they're not homogeneous. So you have many, many different kinds of very heterogeneous objects out there. And it's very possible that a subset, let's say 10% of comets from the Kuiper Belt may have had an important role in hydrating Earth's oceans and Earth's upper crust. It's possible also that Earth might have outgassed a certain amount of water from its original material.
And what are some, are there other theories on how the oceans got there?
Yes, there's some idea now that maybe material that was closer to the edge, the outer edge of the asteroid belt, might have been water rich and might have brought that water to the inner solar system, hydrating both Mars and Earth, and perhaps Venus. There's also an idea that whatever it was that hydrated Earth may have also hydrated the asteroids. You know, we talked about, well, maybe it was asteroids because asteroids are now being discovered to have water on them. We have a new class of asteroids called main belt comets that exhibit material like a comet tail and comet coma with water vapor. But it's possible that there was what we call wet planetesimals, or in the early days when we had these forming bodies called planetesimals, some of them had a lot of water. They were out near the orbit of Jupiter, and maybe that class of objects was raining down and hydrating everything in the inner solar system. So I can't tell you today which of those theories is correct. This is some of the work that we're gathering the clues, and then this would be some of the work that we have to do.
So 2015 could be a very big year for comet science.
Yes, this is not only going to be a big year for comet science, but it will be a big year for piecing together bits of the story of the solar system. And that will include doing corroborative measurements with the Dawn mission, which will arrive at asteroid Ceres also this year, and the New Horizons mission, which will arrive at Pluto this year. And hopefully all three of these missions will tell a complementary story that will help us all to learn more about the origins of our solar system.
And one last question. What is a very simple distinction between a comet and an asteroid?
In the old days, the very simplest distinction was that an asteroid was basically a chunk of rock. Meteorites that fall on the ground are chunks of asteroids. And so it's kind of very simple. You have a rock versus a snowflake. That was really the easiest way to understand the difference. But now, the closer we get to comets and the more we look at what the dusty refractory material is versus what is the evolved form maybe of asteroids, there's like a giant gray area or maybe one continuum between the rocky form, which is the asteroid, and the icy, dusty, rich form, which is the comet. And how that continuum maybe played a role in forming the planets and seeding them with, let's say, organic materials and the material that may have led to life is part of the interesting questions we'll be looking at this year.
Claudia, thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, thank you.
Claudia Alexander is project scientist for the U.S. Rosetta Project.